Today on The Grave Talks, we continue our conversation about the Linville Manor, a haunted legacy, with owner Wynn Brewer. Do you find activity in the place that you live in your apartment? Because your apartment is kind of separate from the original house. And sometimes I've heard of haunted locations where when there's an addition or something, it doesn't cross that line.
Mm-hmm.
How does your place feel?
That's a good question, and no one has really breached that with me, asked that question. But essentially, I'll say yes in the short run. A lot of times something tries to come over here, especially towards the bathroom door. It seems like there'll be a presence in the middle of the night. And I don't know. I'm kind of under the umbrella of saying, you know, like there are times where it's good to have the interaction, and then there's sometimes where you need to put up the wall and say no, this is not a space for engagement or for an invasion right now. And you know, I don't know if you're familiar that the Amy and Adam from Kindred Spirits visited the house, and in their time here, they were trying to get to the bottom of this different kind of energy that sort of feels like it kind of comes and goes in the house. At the end of the day, they couldn't specifically pinpoint who it was, but we had a really important conversation about intention and how setting intentions, especially in your own private space, is super important if you're deciding to maintain a haunted location, a haunted home, because you want to shoo away the spirits necessarily, especially if they're doing their thing or if they're not ready to go, but at the same time you need your privacy. So they were just like, hey, you know, you have to create these firm intentions, and I think that that's very much what I do, is I say, hey, you've got 5,400 square feet over there. Look, like, it's great, it's fun. That's even your taste, right? You come into the apartment space, it's more modern. Like, what are you even doing here, right?
Yeah.
So I'll see you at breakfast. That's kind of the mentality. And I think that that's kind of it, is just you draw those lines and then you don't give it any more thought and you go to sleep.
Do you feel like the spirits that are there are all connected to, it's Bowie, right? Not Bowie. Bowie family?
Yeah.
And so...
Bowie.
Okay, now I can remember that. Because I saw it and I'm thinking David Bowie. And so every time I see it, I'm like, David Bowie. No,
well,
he did not live there.
There is a side family note about being connected to the Bowie knife. So I think that that's how I keep it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So you do feel like family members are still there?
Yeah, I definitely think that, I mean, and many of the spirits that have identified or given names to several groups that have investigated all pertain to those Bowie names. So, like, we have Ed McSeeney, who the Bowies became McSeeneys in, like, the 1850s. But Ed McSeeney, Ursula Bowie, Lily or Eliza Bowie, Martha, John. So these are all names that have come up. That people have had connections with. So we definitely think, you know, it matches up. But also, I think that a little earlier, I mean, Calvin and Gladys put so much work into this home that it wouldn't surprise me that if they weren't here still very proud of that hard work.
I always think if you were a spirit sticking around and you're connected to this house, and somebody moves in and starts renovating it, it would be like, what the hell are you doing with my house? And that would ramp up activity, but then that would lead into, oh, I like what you're doing with the house.
Mm-hmm.
And so do you kind of feel that, like, that appreciation sometimes too?
Yeah, I mean, in many, many senses, like, a lot of people say, like, well, if there was a ghost there, like, why would they be there? You know, like, why wouldn't they be somewhere else? Or why wouldn't they have gone to their cemetery? Or, you know, like, why are they in the house?
Man, if we only knew.
Right. Well,
who knows?
Sitting, I'm literally sitting here, and in my mind, I'm looking out right now at the terraced backyard, and there's 2 acres in the front, 2 acres in the back, all this greenery. I just like put myself in the spirit shoes, and I was like, well, I'd rather be here than in a cemetery because it's not crowded. Like the cemetery, you got people all around you. Like I would want space. I would like, there's nature all around all the time, but you have to keep it, you keep your doors locked so those deers don't move back in.
No kidding.
You know, like I feel like in a way, like this is its own cemetery because it has that peacefulness that you want. I think in many ways that the spirits are still here. They're still hanging out. They're enjoying just the space. Or we don't know how it works, right? We don't know if they kind of come and go. Do they go somewhere else in the spiritual realm and come back for visits? Maybe. I've also questioned, like, we don't, like, we're here now. We're having this conversation this moment. It's really special. But what is there time travel after we were gone? So, like, could I just come back because I want to see and remember those moments in, 2025? So, what's to say that I'm not some ghost of the future coming back?
Yeah, and do they see the house the way you see the house? Is it still more original to what they remember?
Yeah, I think that there is that kind of some really appreciate. I think others maybe not. There has been some conversations from groups that have been directed towards me saying, thanks for leaving the wallpapers, but a lot of the other furnishings they're not the biggest fan of. So I don't know. I'm like, a couch is a couch. Like, come on, you can't.
I'm looking at the pictures and I think you did a great job. I do not know what they're talking about.
I know, right? It's different decades, different styles.
And it's your house. Come on, they didn't pay for it.
Right, that intention. You
They
got to come back and say,
didn't have
listen.
to evict deer.
Right.
You and I were also talking about there's a bathroom in there that you call the non-believer's bathroom, which I connected with because when I was a kid and I lived in a haunted house, we had a very haunted bathroom in that house. So why is it referred to as a non-believer's bathroom?
Yeah, I mean, people say, why do you even give any thought to a bathroom? But like, that's the funny thing is you and I had this connection, like totally.
I had a house that had an extremely haunted bathroom. I don't know why.
There's some of the eeriest places. I mean, that's where you're gonna be alone.
Yes.
So the non-believer's bathroom is definitely lovingly named that because early in the days where people started coming to rent the house, I mean, people were not coming for paranormal. There were no stories. Had been no interactions. But early on, a group came and the husband of the family came upstairs. They were playing board games. That bathroom is at the top of the stairs. He, closes the door, goes to the bathroom, washes his hands, turns around, and there was a latch on the door, and it's latched. So he thought, like it's been a long day. Maybe I latched that. I just don't remember it. And this gentleman is very much a doesn't believe in ghosts. A little while later, apparently he came back up to use the restroom, and then just being self-conscious, he did not shut the door. He just needed to wash his hands. So he goes, washes his hands, turns around, and not only is the door closed, but it's also latched. And so those are the things, like we get several of these stories where, especially people who just really aren't familiar with supernatural or aren't looking for it, they have these really like visceral things that occur. And then it's like they just can't wait to tell you because they're like, listen, I don't do this stuff, but now maybe I kind of do. So that sort of was the beginning of the non-believer's bathroom. But then people will go in there and cell phone reception can be weird. They report getting locked in. The doorknob has come off on people. The Washington Post reporter came and stayed here back in 2020, and she wrote a phenomenal article about the house. But she kind of had this really interesting moment where she called me after her stay and said, "Hey, would you mind going into the non-believer's bathroom? Because I feel like I left some very expensive makeup facial product there." And I said, sure. So I go in there and check, open up the mirror. It's not there. About a week later, I was getting ready for someone else. I go into the green bathroom that's on the opposite side, which we call the Shining bathroom because it literally looks like the bathroom from The Shining. God bless the 1950s and the color schemes. But I open up the mirror there and all of her makeup, her products are there. And I message her and I said, hey, do you want me to send you this? I found it. And she says, where was it? I said, it was in the green bathroom. She said, no. You can keep it, get rid of it, whatever. If it is in the pink bathroom, it would have had to have gone through the wall. So, no.
And you live by yourself. It's not like other people are coming in and out.
Right, right. No one would be in there.
And you looked in there for it.
Mm-hmm. And she was, to clarify, she was someone who does not do anything ghost-related. Her article was literally, 2020 can't get any worse, so I decided to stay all night in a haunted house. Yes, I mean, it's a marvelous account.
I saw that article and I tried to read it, but it was locked down, so I need to subscribe.
The skinny is, she was terrified. You know, things were happening to her as I was telling her the history tour and walking her through the house. Like, she was feeling pulling on her sleeve, pressure on her chest, like this stuff. But she was like, well, I'm not going to give into it. I'm not going to let up that something's happening. But she definitely had these occurrences. But it was to the point where she didn't want to go to bed. She was like, I sat out at the top of the stairs until like 4 a.m. She's like, I didn't want to go in any bedrooms because I was so afraid. And she said the only bathroom that she used was that one, the pink one right there. And then finally she willed herself to go and go to bed in the Overlook. But it was a long night for her.
I can relate to that. I'd be the same way.
Yeah, especially alone.
Yeah.
You know, most people come with a team. And even though the ghosts are good, it's still a lot, you know. And I don't know. Sometimes I feel like those that aren't familiar, the spirits are like, oh, like, don't you want to chat? And
no,
quite as planned.
In a friendly way. But you've got one spirit you refer to as the lurker. And whenever I hear the word lurking, lurker, it just feels very dark to me. Mm-hmm. But you call this spirit more mischievous.
So I probably need to update the website a little bit on this guy. So
yeah, because as you get to know him.
Yeah. Now I feel like this is the misunderstood spirit. I think we still have this mischievous one that's around, but I don't think that's the lurker specifically. So the lurker, people would stay in the conservatory bedroom, and time again, females would report that they would wake up and see what they thought was an eyeless man standing at the foot of the bed, and they would feel this pressure in their chest. Terrifying, right? That's not what you want to hear. That's not what anyone wants to experience. Then it becomes a different side of, like, investigating, you know, in a house where you're comfortable, to more like, oh, this is something that happens when you go to a prison or a sanatorium or something you don't want to encounter. When that negative energy started in the basement, though, when we were doing the renovations to start the Tiki-Zi, this fantastic group of psychics came. And it was a group. They work as professionals. They come as a team, and they sort of like have different skills and talents. And then they're able to say, this is what collectively we're picking up. So I had described this feeling and this entity and what people had been seeing in the green bedroom. Well, when we go down to the basement, they immediately say, you know, the fire. Let's go back to the fire. You know, it was never explained what happened. Well, they were picking up that there had been a gentleman, and they got the name Aloysius. Since we've also picked up the name Jeremiah, so we're not really sure which name. And as I was talking to the psychic the other night, we had a couple-year past phone call. He said that sometimes spirits may not give their actual name, especially if they don't know you or they don't want you to know them, but they will give you a name. So that may be why we kind of have this confusion on a name there. They immediately, and this is why I believe there are gifts by folks who are psychics, but they said they were picking up that there was a gentleman and his workstation used to be down in the basement, and he was the caretaker of the oil lamps. So when the fire happened back in 1852, probably it was from a windy day or something, we get a lot of them here, going into one of the lamps, catching a curtain on fire, and there goes the house. But in those days, you didn't have insurance. You had to blame somebody for something. And unfortunately, because he was the caretaker of those lamps, he got the blame. And then he was beaten and not killed, but thrown into the river. And that is what they picked up that resulted in his death.
Oh, so they said,
wow. People, yeah. And they were seeing him in the basement. They're like, oh, he's here. And he's very much not ready to cross over or anything like that, because he just feels like his life was cut so short. He wants to keep going. He doesn't want to be limited. And they said, but please to let people know that if they happen to experience him in that bedroom or in the basement, that it's not that he means anyone harm. He never wants to harm anyone. But they actually probably remind him of someone from his life. And so because they're reminding him, he wants to stay and spend time with them and remember. And then, unfortunately, they're taking on some of that, like, pressure in the chest from the drowning. And then when they see him, because he was beaten, some people have reported they didn't think he had eyes or blackened out eye look. But we think it's from the bruising. So again, like, I think it's a sad story. It's a misunderstood spirit. But since we've started acknowledging him, we even gave him a corner of the basement that's his corner, you know. Things have calmed down. And I think that that goes a long way with the spirit world.
And you have to wonder, too, with that, did he feel responsible and unworthy? And, you know, he might have carried and still carrying a lot of guilt. So to be acknowledged and feel maybe a little forgiven, I would think that would really change his presence.
Right. I think there's a lot of echoes in history. I mean, we won't have time to get to all of it in the show, but I think there's a lot of instances where people who have been here in the past have been a little bit misunderstood or misrepresented. And, you know, those that knew them may have written them off as one way. But I think as ghosts, we have the time and space where people can actually see or know us for who we really are. And it's not the circumstances. So there have been a lot of things that have come up where someone is labeled a certain way or seen by society or a group, and then you know them a little bit better and say, well, it was probably because of the circumstances or the events that were going on in the time that led to that. So
right.
I think we can be who we want to be when we're in the spirit realm.
Yeah, and I think it would help to give that spirit permission, you know, too, that if you are able to communicate that, I don't know. It just is a feeling I have, but it just seems like it would matter.
Yeah.
You know, and there's another room that I thought was interesting that you, the Linville room.
Yeah.
That you say that some guests report more of an angelic presence there.
Yeah. And I'm really glad you brought that up, because I think when I was trying to get through the storied history of the house, I forgot to include my imprint. So,
because I also I never got around to asking why it is now the Linville Manor.
Yeah.
So I'd like to address that.
Perfect segue. The ghost guided us to here. So I feel like a cool part about history that, again, I didn't know, but it seems like when a new owner takes over, they renamed this farm for something that meant a lot to them. So you had Thorpe Land, then Glad Acres. And then, not knowing about any of that, I named it Linville because that was my mother's maiden name. I just always thought it was a beautiful name. She passed away several years ago. And like I said, she was this ball of energy and creativity. And I just always was like, oh, where am I going to put that? You know, where is the dedication to her? And then this house was sort of that venue. I said, wow, like everything that I admired about her, that's can be the testimony of this place, is that it's welcoming to groups who want to do theater plays or performances or investigations or music videos or whatever people want to do. This is a creative space. Then, you know, I'd never done it in my life, but I decided to look up the origin of Linville. And it actually means escape from the city. And I was like,
oh, okay. Wow.
Like, that's perfect. Like, how can it be better? that's why it's Linville Manor, as because it's a space in her sort of spirit. But it echoes that. And then in that room specifically, you can probably see the wallpapers there in the picture. Those were there. They survived from the 50s, and it just had this really beautiful floral look to it. The borders were in there that were purple. So I just took the purple to the extreme and was like, okay, well, I'll paint the rest of the walls like a lavender color. There's lots of rocks and minerals. We grew up in Tennessee, so it was lots of days of collecting rocks in the creek. So it was kind of like a little bit of my heart's there in that room too. Yeah, like I don't know if it was that sort of dedication to my mother's spirit, but that room, out of all the rooms, people will report this angelicness, this protection, that people will come and say that they've, you know, not slept well for years. They'll sleep in that room and say, wow, like, I have not slept that good in so long. They'll say that they haven't had dreams for years. And then they'll literally leave the house and give me a call and say, wow, I've started having dreams again. So I don't know what it is about that space, but people have reported like opening sort of like a stream of light coming from a doorway that's not there. So unexpected light.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. So it is sort of like this lightness to the room.
But there is literally the room itself, looking at the picture, kind of reminds me of spring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You feel lifted being in there.
I just find it so interesting that you have, you know, depending on where you're at in the house, you have different experiences. And I also found it very interesting that you said at 1:11, things tend to happen. I'm assuming 1:11 mostly a.m. as opposed to p.m. because you might not even be there. You might be at work.
Right.
But, you know, that is a rather spiritual thing, 1:11. And, you know, they say it's a time for new beginnings or things. And I just find that interesting that your house reacts to 1:11.
Yeah. And, you know, when I moved here, I knew so little about the paranormal realm or, you know, anything that kind of like aligns or like these sort of signs that are out there in the universe. And just that happenstance that it was 1:11 so many times that I would hear something. And then months later, when people were starting to do investigations and make communications, they asked specifically, they said they were talking with someone, but they said, what is the significance of 1:11? You know, why 1:11? And they got a reply, and the spirits essentially said that they gather in the lounge to not only reflect on their history and their memories, but they like at that time to talk about the guests that are in the house, the new people, the like, different stories. So I often say, you know, when you come here, you're definitely getting checked out. You're definitely getting a little bit of the chatter about, but you have to remember, like, these are DC socialites. The Bowie families were quite prominent. So they're going to be, you know, sharing the hot goss that's out there. And then in the 1950s, you know, you had there were letters coming here from the Truman administration, from Nixon. So, again, we don't know what kind of, like, uppity D.C. parties were happening here, but it was always a social place. So they're quite down to gab.
I just find it so fascinating, your history with this house, how you've been able to renovate it on your own. I'm like, I'm still a little dumbfounded by it all. But are you to a point now where you can kind of relax in the house? Because I would imagine for a few years anyway, it had to have been go to work every day, come home, work on the house.
There were quite a few days in the office where people would just bet on what color paint would be on my hand. I'm telling you, there were these days where I was like, I think I sleep like 4 hours a day and I'm covered in paint and I no longer have any nice clothes because, like, I wear
I've
them
ruined everything.
Projects. And then the pandemic didn't help. It was like, well, I'm not going to get new clothes now. So crawling into the world out of that was something. But yeah, it's definitely calmed down. Now it's fun because the projects that I get excited about are like, I'm no joke, like, I get so pumped. Like, Home Depot will have a brick sale. So a quarter a brick. I'm telling you, it just happened. It's going to come again in the summer. But I will get so jazzed and be like, I'm going to go load up the car with bricks and for $400 or $500 have like a new patio area. So like these projects that maybe aren't so much attached to the interior of the house are starting to happen. So you come here now and you have some fun walkways and there's a rose garden and you know, like it's really like sprucing up the outside, which didn't have a lot of attention over the years. And definitely sleeping more and actually able to like cook nice meals at night. So yeah, it's come full circle a bit.
It's interesting because I have a half acre and that is a good size yard. You have 4 acres. I really appreciate what goes into that. Because that is a lot of work. It's kind of nonstop. Just when one thing gets mowed, the other part needs mowed again, you know, especially this time of year. So
that is another reason why you go get all those quarter bricks, because the more bricks you can put down, the less mowing.
Then you got a weed eat around them. There's always something.
I know. I'm trying to like work it out. So I'm like, okay, if I just do, there's a science. Yeah.
Yeah, but I swear, as soon as I get it done, like I got my backyard done yesterday, and then this morning I'm like, yeah, I'm going to need to mow that one, the front here in the next day or two. It's just, just having that kind of property and the house up on the hill and then to be able to look out and see the grounds looking nice and see the house looking nice and know how far it's come, that has to just be a really terrific feeling.
I really enjoy projects where you can see that you've made a big difference. You know, I think that a lot of that comes from, I spent several many years in the corporate workforce where I would do a lot of work and then there was always more work to do. But it's sort of like you do the work and then it goes into the organization and then you're like, where did all of my effort? Like,
and now you look around and go, this is what I did.
Yeah. So it's nice because like there are folks like us all out there. And when we can do something with our hands, it's like, there you go. Like it doesn't just go out into the digital world and disappear. It's like, you know, we are all great creators. So it's nice to make something that can be visibly in front of us.
Have you ever had a party and invited your coworkers? And it's like, remember all those days I came in covered in paint? Here's what I did. I'd like you to see what I worked on.
Here, you know, we all know the kind of working world we're in right now. And so not anything that I've done, but I have worked for like 4 different organizations over the past 7 years because the organization had reorgs and changes. And so it's like, oh, we're going to move this or we're cutting that. So I had to find new jobs. So the awkward sauce was always getting a new job and then like them talking about the normal everyday things. And then I was like, oh yeah, like, well, this weekend, this paranormal team's going to come. And then this is the, oh yeah, yesterday we had an interaction. And they're like, you know, heads turn. And then they get to know me. And then they kind of dive into the house. And then it's this big thing. But it is kind of like, how do I bring this up?
Exactly. You know? I never really thought about that. You know, because they're still living in those small apartments. And you're like, yeah, you know, I have a 12-minute commute. They're like, 12 minutes? Yeah, I live in a 6,000 square foot house on 4 acres.
Right.
Oh, by the way, it's loaded up with ghosts.
Yes, you're right.
That is crazy.
You start Googling and you're going to be like, what kind of rabbit hole is this? So yeah, it's the multiverse. That's all I call it now. It's the multiverse of Linville.
It is really stunning. It's a stunning house. So go to linvillemanor.com. You can see the pictures we've been talking about. You can book it for an event. You can get information on paranormal investigations. There's all kinds of information on that. Now, like I said, I'll put a link on the show notes so you can easily click on that as well. What an interesting conversation, Wynn.
Well, thank you. No, you're very easy to talk with. I know you understand this kind of stuff, even to the cats in the non-believers' bathrooms. Like, we just got each other. So
exactly.
Thanks for making it so easy.
And that wraps up our conversation about the Linville Manor with owner Wynn Brewer. For more information, find them on Facebook or visit their website at linvillemanor.com. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, then you can become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts, where you can try it for 3 days free, or go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you very much for listening.
Normally in these ads, you expect somebody to ask you to buy something, but this is something different. I'm Julian Barnes, and I'm a reporter for The New York Times. I'm a national security reporter, and that means I'm reporting on military operations. These are fast-paced, quickly moving situations. What exactly is happening on the ground is often shrouded in mystery, but we turn to trusted sources, satellite imagery, and expertise built up over years in order to ferret out the facts that wouldn't otherwise come to light. I'm here to ask you to seek out a news source that does firsthand fact-based reporting. If it's your local paper, great. If it's The Times, thank you. Because where you go for your information matters.